our history, were permitted by God to awaken in our souls a desire to be His helper, to bring mankind, the whole humanity, to where God wants it to be. I believe as God prepared individuals, some females, like Mary, the mother of Christ Jesus, peace be upon them, like the mother of Moses, peace be upon her, but mostly like what I have in mind are those prophets from Noah till the last, how he worked with individuals, and he was their company, he was their friend, and he worked with them to help them in the world of their time, or in the circumstances of their time. I believe that just as God has worked with individuals, God also works with people. Not individually, but with the whole people. With the whole people. And God permits that some whole society or people in numbers, in big numbers, be subjected to a horrible existence so that they will be formed anew, a people. So misery, rejection, social rejection, misery, being put down, has been a pressure upon our souls that has pressed out the best. It will press out the worst too. But it also presses out the best. And good is always stronger than bad. Righteousness is always stronger than wickedness. Yes. Health is always stronger than sickness. So it presses, and the worst comes out and the best comes out. But it's the best that stays and prevails. So God has subjected us, has permitted that we be subjected to the worst treatments recorded in human history. God has permitted that we be subjected to form a people anew. And it's, to me, when God said, speaks of a ram, when God speaks of Christ Jesus as a lamb, and when God tells us of Muhammad, the prophet, that he had an excellent life even before he was called to be the prophet of God, that he was excellent, there was nothing wrong with his human life. God didn't call Muhammad to make him a decent man, he was already a decent man. God didn't call Muhammad to raise him up into good morals, he already was raised up in good morals. He didn't call him to teach him to be sociable and kind and to treat family members and strangers with kindness, etc. He was already that kind of man. God didn't call Muhammad to teach him how to be honest, he already had a reputation on the peninsula of Arabia for being honest. He was called the honest one before God called him to be his servant. He didn't have to teach him to be truthful, he was already called Sadiq, the truthful one. Before God called Muhammad, he was already called these things. And God says in the Quran, addressing this fact, he says he's already lived a lifetime among you, saying to the Arab people, his life is already a lifetime. 40 years is a lifetime. Their average lifespan was not much more than that. They couldn't, back then, they didn't know how to live to see more than 40 years, the average one. And he had already lived a lifetime among them, and it had already been proven that a man does not have to lose his human excellence, doesn't have to lose his moral qualities to sin or to the temptation of devils. He can survive whatever the world throw at him, and keep his excellence, his human excellence that God gave man when he created Adam in the garden. That the man can keep that and not be spoiled. That can survive whatever the world has to throw against it. So God gave Muhammad as an indication, as a model. But God had already given Jesus to the world. And Jesus was born among animals. The nativity. Little child among animals. But he kept his human excellence, and he lived the life of human excellence, and he died in his human excellence. He died in his human excellence. So behind Muhammad comes a prophet who's a living man, he's alive in history, who made the physical changes upon the world with his life and with those who supported him. He changed the world, physically changed the world, and left the world knowledge and inspired in them appreciation for higher education, and left scientists and scholars to bring not only Muslims into enlightenment, but also to awaken in non-Muslims intellectual life and appreciation for scholarly work, and thereafter the Renaissance, the revival of the sciences for the West. He led the world into all of that, and Jesus Christ is a sign of it, a mysterious sign of that it would come. Behind him, the righteous servant of God, Jesus Christ, I'm speaking of now, upon him be peace, would come a man later, and he would show us in reality all the wonderful things that we were given in Jesus Christ as a sign or as a mystery. So that, to me, is saying that Muhammad, too, is a sign. Jesus Christ was a sign. He was a sign shrouded in mystery. Muhammad was an open sign, plain sign, open sign. But both of them are only signs. Where is the real thing happening? The real thing is happening in the people that need justice. They still need justice. And anyone who study our life, especially a knowledgeable person of scripture, of how God treat matters, of how God answered other people in bad circumstances, their bad circumstances obligated God to intervene, to be involved. What circumstances we need to bring God again to be involved? When you look at what happened to African people brought here to America and enslaved, and how we were put down and made to think that we were inferior as a creation to white folks, made us ashamed of our hair, ashamed of our black skin, ashamed of our broad features. What worse thing have been done to any people? So I tell any scholar of scripture, if you can't understand that our condition obligates God to be with us, to intervene on our behalf, it obligates even Mother Nature to be on our side, and Mother Nature is on our side. So any of you who don't care much for religion anymore, and I don't blame you, the way religion is being presented in the world for the last 20 years or more, and the way it was presented when we were put down as slaves and black subjects, etc., I don't blame you if you're fed up with religion. But if you have a good preacher like Benjamin Mays and some of the others that I know about, the good fellows, I met them in person, no excuse for you being a bad Christian. You should be a good Christian. No matter what has happened in your life, you should be a good Christian. No matter what has happened to our people in history, you should be a good Christian. Because Muhammad survived all the evils and polytheism, theism and ignorance of his time. And there's no, that's to tell us, there is no excuse for anybody keeping their good morals if you're sane. No matter how bad the world gets, how ugly it gets, and puts you down, whatever, even though it abandons respect for God, if you got good, if you're intelligent and you got good human sensitivities, you have no excuse for going bad. You're weak. That's why we go bad. The pressures, if you take them, the only that's a strong survives. You know that singer, Temptation? I'm not sure which one, but I really love that song, Only the Strong Survive. Well, we're living in a time right now, you know. Ronald Reagan, Bush, no special favors, only the strong survive. And if we get a Democratic leader, a Democrat, to go in the White House, if he's not too standing for only the strong survive, he ain't gonna be in there long. In fact, I don't think he'd even get in there. This is a time of the survival of the fittest. The world has too much waste, and it can't take care of waste the way it takes care of good things. All right? So if you want to waste your life and give your life to bad morals, to self-destruction, to violence and indecency. They have a plan for you. Only the strong survive. Allahu Akbar. Some of you are ready to accept all that I'm going to say today. But most of you, I don't know. But I started off saying, we only need a few. Now, don't think the learned of the Islamic world like what I'm saying. If you want to run back to them with this to see how they're going to react, I'll tell you, don't waste your time. They're not going to like what I'm going to say. Now, yes. So, Jesus Christ is reported in the Quran that he asked for helpers. And some righteous men responded to him. They said, we are your helpers to God. We are your helpers to God. What does it mean? Ilallah means to God. What does it mean? We are your helpers to bring the matter to God. What is the matter? Justice. We are your helpers to be with you, to support the just cause, so that we bring it to God. God wants man to bring justice all the way to him. If you bring justice all the way to God, then justice will be complete. But if we stop short of bringing justice all the way to God, it will not be complete for human beings. Justice can only be complete for society or for human society when we bring justice all the way to God. And that's why it is given also in Scripture that the worst form of oppression is false worship, worshiping something that's not God. Because anything other than God, if you worship it, is not going to bring you the good life. It's not going to account or materialize justice and a good life, the excellent life under a just rule, under a just rule. No rule other than God will be full justice for man. And shouldn't that be the reason for those who believe there's a God, or this world didn't create itself, God made it? Shouldn't that be our reasoning? Yes, it should. Because God knows us, as God says in Scripture, who is better to serve than the one who has been around always. So somebody coming up here in late time, or even 10,000 years ago, what do they know about the complete history of human beings on this earth? And who can know better than the one who created and designed the life in the first place, or in the first instance? So this is the logic. This is the logic in Islam. For scholars of Islam, that no worship other than the worship of God can result in the full freedom or emancipation of the human soul, freedom of the emancipation of the human soul, and justice for human society. Nothing short of the worship of God can do that. I repeat that I believe that Mother Nature has already gone to war in our defense. You see how nature itself is whipping people? Nature itself is whipping people. Nature is whipping government. Nature is whipping government leaders. Nature, whipping them. And I believe that nature is our defender. Yes, Mother Nature is our defender, defending us. Not all of us, but us who want to be good and excellent in our life and in our behavior. Nature is on our side. Mother Nature is on our side. Yes. So when Jesus asked for helpers, he got helpers. There were righteous men available to him. And they said, we are your helpers to bring the issue to God. To bring the issue to God. So God then used men, leaders, and used other men to help those leaders to advance his cause, to advance real justice for human society. But if we understand what those symbols and those metaphors are saying, that are given to communicate not just a person, what's in a person, like Jesus Christ, or Moses, or Muhammad, or Abraham, or any of them, but is given to communicate something that is in every human being, but only expresses itself or produces itself in the real world from a very few, from a very few. I understand when Jesus was speaking to his following, and he said to them, I and you, and you and me. He was saying that there was a common life that they shared. They shared a common life. And then God gave us Muhammad, and Muhammad was told to say by God, it's in our Quran, in our Holy Scripture, Muhammad was told by God to say, I am a mortal just like you. I am a mortal just like you. We are to see the connection for these two expressions. The last prophet saying something, but he's saying something to give further explanation or to make it clearer what the one before whom said when Jesus said, I am you and you and me. Now, the more familiar saying you perhaps are recalling, Muslims who came from church life too, as well as our Christians, our guests here, is that God, Jesus said, I am the Father. That's probably what you're recalling. But don't forget, don't forget that it said too of Jesus Christ, I and you, you and me. I don't want you to think that I was getting ready to word that wrongly. But I would like to also say, don't forget that this man is an excellent student of the Bible. And in a discussion of the Bible, in its wisdom, etc., I bar none. Okay. I'm not intimidated by the Pope of Rome or by the president of the Baptist Union, or following, what is it called, the Baptist Conference. Yes. The Baptist National Convention, whatever. No, none of them make me feel uncomfortable. In fact, I can go to sleep and wake, and they wake me up, and I'll continue the conversation. Yeah, not bragging, but I have studied diligently and for over long many years, and I thank God preserved my innocence and preserved my truthfulness. And I was not selfish. I was not reading the Bible to prove something for myself or to disprove something against somebody else. I read it just to know. I didn't have any prejudices or anything. And God blessed me with more than what most Christian leaders have. I assure you that. And why shouldn't he bless me? If I do believe in divine intervention. And Mr. Farad was divine intervention. Elijah Muhammad, his able spokesperson, divine intervention. Malcolm X, my old friend, and the mother of this wonderful girl over there, and father of that wonderful girl over there. Yes, divine intervention. Yes. The civil rights movement, Rosa Parks, Dr. King taking up the cause, divine intervention. So I believe in divine intervention. Yes, Wallace D. Muhammad, breaking the lifeline of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Mr. Farrar, cutting you off, cutting the umbilical cord until you live again. Divine intervention. Yes. So I believe in the divine intervention. So why shouldn't God then, if I believe Wallace D. Muhammad is divine intervention, And he's prepared me to teach you Islam, Quran, and the way of our Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. I live in a predominantly Christian society. My neighbors are Christians. Across the street, next door, Christians. When I speak to an audience, it's a Christian public listening, or we'll hear it later. And whatever we do in this country, we have to do it amidst Christians on their block, in their neighborhood. So you think God wouldn't prepare me to also live with Christians and to understand what they have as their religion and to help you live better with your Christian neighbors? Yeah, so God had to educate me both in Christianity and Islam in order for me to serve his cause here in America. Yeah. And I'll never be big-headed. If I come swollen-headed, if I get an ego, it's a curse of God on me. It ain't my nature. Ain't nothing in me want that. Nothing in me want to be big shot. Nothing in me want to be seen. I don't want you to see me. I want you to see what you need to see to help your life. Not me as a person. No, I don't want you to see me. I'm happy not being seen. As long as you see what God wants you to have in your life for your betterment and for your good future. That's all I want. And because of that, I think that's why God has made me the leader of these people that's going to change the world. I should have said, finish changing the world. Yes, because from the moment that they picked us up and singled us out for the abuses, I think we were already being an influence for changing the world. Yes, for changing the whole world. America is more socially mature than any other nation I know of. Why? Because it has used us for its experimentation. It has used us for its experimentation. In its experiment with freedom, nothing has been more valuable and more important as a factor in their experiment with freedom than the soul and life of our people. Yes, they have used us to awaken the best in their own people. They have used us to bring out the best in their own people. They have used us as a kind of cathartic medicine to purge the soul of their own devilish people so that their people become a healthier and better people for the great plan of their founding fathers, because they weren't even fit to support that plan in that terrible, diabolic nature they were in before they poured out their misery on us and cured themselves by some kind of a therapy. Yes, by some kind of therapy, they cured themselves. But who was used? We were. We were. We were used to heal the nation. And now this nation, as I said, are more socially mature and more healthy as social members in the society of mankind than most of the people I know in the nations of the world. Most of them. They may be devoted to rituals. They may be devoted to righteousness more than most Americans. They may be devoted to honesty and decency and loving their neighbor. But when it comes to social maturity, most of them are much more deficient or lacking than the average American citizen. Much more. They don't have the social maturity of the American people. Yes. So it's not a single person that has been assigned for the healing of this sick world. It is a group of people, African-American people, that have served as a sign for the healing of the hearts and souls of the world. God chose you for that, and he will reward you in equal measure. Whatever the world took from you with God's permission, God has to reward you in equal measure. And didn't the world take away from you your connection with your own lifeline as a society or as a people? Yes. So then to pay you back, God must connect you again with your own lifeline so that you can become a society and a people anew. And a people supported by the excellence of Mother Nature. By the excellence of Mother Nature. A people reconciled with the material world as the mate or the helpmeet for the mind of mankind. Yes.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.B. Muhammad, call our right. Ministry of W.B. Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W.B. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, he's local distributor. And thanks for listening.